The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The legendary godfather of punk poetry, John Cooper Clarke, is in Ireland. He is going to be receiving a gold medal today from Trinity College for his outstanding contribution to the arts. This is the gold medal of honorary patronage, and this ahead of a tour that takes him to Dublin, Limerick, Galway, Kilkenny and Cork. Details to follow. John, it is a pleasure to see you and thanks a million for coming in to us.
Smashing to be here. Thank you, Kieran.
So before we talk about awards and tours and everything like this, you might remind us, because I love this, Michael D. Higgins, our esteemed president, and you, when did you first cross paths?
Well, I think it was the first time I ever came to Dublin. It was a very tiny artistic space called the Project Arts Centre, and they were running a play in the later on that evening. I think it was Equus, a play called Equus that they later made into a film. Anyway, the support spot was filled in by a local poet by the name of Michael D. Higgins. I was reminded of this by Michael D. Higgins a few years ago when I was in, I think it was, Galway or Cork, for a movie festival. And they were waiting to get it started. It was going to be opened by Michael D. And one of his outriders came and said, "Would you mind having a photograph with our president? You know, I'll kill you if he doesn't."
So that was your first
time? We were
time.
Young then and stylish.
So you're still stylish.
So is Michael D, I've got to say. Credit to the force.
How deep has that relationship been with Ireland? I'm often struck just that there's a kind of, there seems this cultural affinity in Ireland to people, artists, creators, more from the north of England than further south. And I wonder, is that something that would have resonated with you?
Well, yes, there are a great many Irish people in Manchester, and Salford especially. In fact, where I come from, Salford, it's more or less Manchester. There's a river in between us, but, you know, it's not. We've not quite got that New Jersey, New York sort of situation. They blend into each other, just to give you a kind of image of the place. But great many, it was, in fact, when they built the railroads and the canals, the population of Salford tripled within a year. So it's a very Irish kind of place.
Well, when you were growing up in Salford, what age were you when you really engaged with poetry for the first time? And I mean, engaged. I don't mean learned a kind of a rhyming couplet. So you
well,
pass
that's
an
how
exam.
I did get engaged. That's how I did get engaged. Exactly how I got engaged in poetry, really. We had a particularly inspirational teacher called John Malone, who introduced us to the, the 19th century heroic and romantic poets. And we were required, just like you say, Michael Gove style, to learn the words. You had to learn it off by heart. You know, this poetry was written 150 years ago by somebody who was three times your age. You're not going to understand it. So forget about understanding it. Learn it. And if requested, you had to stand up and recite, you know, give me the fifth verse of The Lady of Shalott by Alfred Lord Tennyson, for instance. And you had to do it, and that's how we were taught how to appreciate poetry. And I think it's a good way, because you're not going to understand it. They're quite right there. You're not going to understand it. But the nature of poetry is it sneaks up on you in later life if you memorize the words, and then it starts to fall into some kind of order, you know, which changes even with the further passage of time. I think, like Ernest Hemingway once said, that all sport aspires to boxing. And I think in the same way, if you apply that to the flakier world of poetry, I think all art aspires to poetry. That's what I'm getting at here. Mm. In the, you know, if you see a painting, or you hear a piece of music or a movie which has a haunting quality that follows you through the rest of your life, then what? How do you describe that? So the quality of that piece of work, you would say that it has a poetic quality, and that's how it works. I think that's how poetry works over a long period. Learning it off by heart was very important part of the appreciation, because I think that poetry should be heard rather than, you know, read out of a book.
Okay.
You know, even if I'm alone in a room, if I was reading a poem, I would read it aloud.
That's interesting, because I suspect most people don't do that. I suspect most people read poetry, and when I say read, in their head.
Yeah, they kind of absorb it silently, but I think that's a mistake. I think, you know, it's like watching a TV with the sound down or something. You know, it's only half the experience. That's why I've never really got into classical music, you know. It sounds to me like incidental music from a film I can't see. So I think, you know, when you don't read a poem aloud, it's kind of, you're only getting half the experience, if that. What I would say is, if I had to describe, I'm often asked to describe my poetry, and my answer is always the same. Imagine the Titanic with a lisp. Unthinkable.
Ah, stop. people up and down the country are going to rob that one, I think, for themselves.
Went down well in Belfast the other night.
I'm sure it did. Yeah, it'll go, and Cork, because Cork claim their own Titanic heritage as well. So you're playing in Cypress Avenue. I know it's the end of the Irish tour in Cork, so they'll appreciate that as well. Well, what do people get when they go to the gig, besides great gags like that? Well, but I mean, what's the experience?
I like to send them out of there with a smile on their face. Kieran, you know. My new poetry, for a start. I got a whole book full of fresh poetry. But, you know, there's a few favourites that I would never leave out.
Mm.
You know, Chicken Town, I Want to Be Yours, for instance. Very popular poem. The wedding favourite of the 21st century so far, worldwide.
Who's the most, that comment you made about all art aspiring to be poetry in the same way, you know, sport aspires to boxing. Who's the most poetic artist out there?
Artist?
Yeah, like I'm thinking, poet. Well, like Taylor Swift, I mean, or someone like that. I mean, how poetic.
Well, she's featured the subject of poetry in her latest smash hit album, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Is it The Tortured Poets
Department. Could have been written about you, John.
Pardon?
It could have been written about you.
Oh, have you heard it? I've not heard it yet. But
it's a good album.
Yeah, I was involved in a comedy routine concerning myself and Taylor Swift's album, and I can't remember how it went, but yeah, I have been. Our names have been leaked in a comedy sketch.
But I mean, do you recognise in, be it Taylor Swift or anyone else, it doesn't have to be her,
what do you mean, what kind of artistic endeavour do I consider having a poetic quality?
Which individual artists? Do you kind of, you know, are there paintings you look at, or is there music you listen to, and it's not classical music, as you say, where you kind of feel like that's a kindred spirit now? The person who created that is a kindred spirit.
There are many of them, actually, you know, but mainly I always got my inspiration for lines from movies. And all over the place, you know, but movies, you know, old school, the American Songbook, you know, pop songs, pre-rock and roll pop songs, really. And, you know, going over into the kind of Lieber and Stoller, for instance, you know, the words of Jerry Lieber were just, you know, vignettes of ghetto life, you know, written by this person who didn't himself live in that world, but was so taken with it all that, you know, he wrote Lieber and Stoller, for the uninitiated, I'm sure there aren't any that don't know, but Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller wrote all the songs, most of the songs for The Clovers, The Coasters, The Drifters, and all the songs in Jailhouse Rock, for instance. So you can see that the lyrics of those songs, if you can call them to mind, are very on point, you know, with the modern era that they were writing in. And but part of a tradition that's referenced everyday life. So they would do songs about diners and bars and, you know, city life. And I found all that very inspiring. But, you know, a song like Stardust by Hoagie Carmichael, and the best version is by its composer. You know, everybody covered it, Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Bing Crosby, Ella Fitzgerald. Everybody was anybody covered that song, so beautiful it was. But, you know, if you read those lyrics, it doesn't read like a song in any way. And it also features the word reverie, which I'd never heard that word before when I first heard it as a child. And I thought, I kind of right away knew what that was. And it's a very important word to anybody that's thinking of making a living out of poetry. Reverie, very important. So idleness is your best friend, really.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get a reverie going on without idleness. And if you're a poet, your minimum requirement, idleness.
Well, that's funny because there was this study done of, it was with architects, and a university carried out many years ago now, but it was the most creative took the longest to start creating. Do you know what I mean? The least creative were the people who took their commission and sat down with a piece of paper and immediately started drawing things. And the people who just went off and did something else for weeks on end.
There's always something better to do than write a poem. But I'll tell you what will get you writing poetry. Yeah. Money.
Well, what a great segue he's allowed me, because you can still get a few tickets and there's only a few left on Ticketmaster.
Don't make me beg.
John is playing. He's playing on Tuesday. He's playing tomorrow night in the Three Olympia Theatre in Dublin, but then the following night in Dolan's, great venue, Dolan's Warehouse in Limerick, then the Black Box in Galway, the Seth Theatre, another great venue in Kilkenny on the 18th, and then we mentioned Cork, it is in Cypress Avenue on the 19th of May. He will be performing some from What, the new collection of poetry that's out now. Some of the hits, as he mentioned, will be in there. And on top of all of that, being honoured with the Gold Medal of Honorary Patronage today in Trinity College Dublin. John, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Fantastic. But I've got to say,
oh yeah, go on.
Cut us in some way. You know, you were asking for who I think, what artists are out there who've ever done something that I think, you know, chimes in with the... Because poetry and music, I don't think they always go together. You know, when it really works, it's called a song. But when it comes to songs that I think have a poetic resonance, I'm thinking Stardust and all the tracks on Astral Weeks by Van Morrison. That is just drenched in a kind of enigma that will follow you to your grave. I'll never get sick of that album. Also, a lot of the stuff Lou Reed did with the, you know, with or without the Velvet Underground.
Drenched in an enigma that would follow you to your grave. John, you're a poet, even when we're talking about Van Morrison recommendations. So listen, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Kieran. It's been a pleasure.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.